Heath Evans, NFL Network, joins us now on the Metro PCS Hotline. Always good to catch up with Heath. How you been, man?
I'm good, buddy. How are you guys?
Excellent. Appreciate it. Let's go Dolphins here right off the bat. Off season now, a little bit more in focus. We've had the free agency and all the excitement that surrounded it there, and then the draft, and now the dust has kind of cleared a little bit. What do you make as you get this big picture national perspective on what Miami's done?
You know, I don't know. I think I was pretty okay with everything, and then I think that the Deion Jordan just messed my mind up. I mean, I get the potential, but potential will get you fired in a heartbeat. I mean, with the struggles that Jeff Ireland's had making wise decisions through the draft across the board, I think this is a reach. I mean, this is a guy that's a freak of nature athlete, but yet when you look at the qualifications, he's still 6'6", he's still 240. So anytime that he's in the game, in my opinion, he's still a liability. I don't care if he gives you 18 sacks next year. The negative impact of him on the field for most of true football situations is scary to me. And then you kind of go all the way back to the Heartline figures. Was there anybody else that was really going to pay Brian that? Was there anyone else that was really going to pay Mike Wallace that? I mean, what we know about the Steelers is, man, they have inside trader information on people. They either trade them, they get rid of them, they don't sign them. You look at Santonio Holmes, who's become probably the biggest cancer in all the NFL. Is Mike Wallace that? No. Is he more gifted than Santonio Holmes? Yes, probably. But you just look at the business side of so many different aspects. And then even the Carlos Dansby swap out for Daniel Ellerbe. It's the old school veteran in me. It's the Bill Belichick sense that's coming through in my mind that screams that, man, this might end up being a nightmare for Jeff Ireland across the board, maybe in every single one of these decisions.
All right. Obviously, don't agree on all of it. With the Deion Jordan thing, though, you say it's a reach. Do you think it's a reach because it's the Dolphins and the specific needs that they have, or is it a reach because Deion Jordan is Deion Jordan?
Both, but more importantly for me that Deion Jordan is 243 pounds. I mean, this is a guy that, truth be told, as soon as you see him in the game, even third and three, you're thinking we still have a very good chance to run the ball. I mean, you look inside the division, you know, specifically, you're trying to beat the Patriots. You look at their run numbers on third down last year, they were the highest in the business because of what they were trying to do. So if you're trying to beat the Patriots to win your division, to have a chance to go on, you mold and shape your team based on how to beat the Patriots. And Deion Jordan is not the type of player that frustrates Tom Brady. Middle pressure. Cameron Wake's not the type of player that frustrates Tom Brady. It's middle pressure, a big defensive, big lineman that gets pushed constantly in his face. It's what Baltimore's consistently able to do to him. It's, I look at it different. And I know my views at times a lot of people don't agree with, but truth be told, they didn't get better with the Deion Jordan pick. They weren't closer to beating the Patriots with that pick.
It's interesting, a couple things. I think one, with getting pressure up the middle, that goes back to Danelle Ellerbe, though. And, I mean, he comes from Baltimore. He's a guy that I think they expect to blitz a little bit more than Dansby did. But it's interesting what you say about the Patriots stuff, too, because there are a lot of people that say what you say, that, hey, it's the Patriots division, and obviously it has been for quite some time now, and that you got to build yourself to beat them. But do you? Like, should you build a roster to try and specifically address one team when you got to play 14 other games in the regular season?
Yeah, because you're always trying to beat the great quarterbacks. You're trying to beat a Rodgers. You're trying to beat a Breeze. You're trying to beat Brady. You're trying to beat the Manning boys. That's who you're trying to beat. And by middle pressure, blitzing is not the answer because you don't beat Rodgers. You don't beat Brady. You don't beat these boys. Unless you're like Pittsburgh and you can truly, like they did in 2011, you can man up across the board, man for man, that everyone that Brady has, and then bring true pressure and you can guarantee that you're going to get there before the wide receivers get open. Okay, but there's very few teams in this business that can do that. By middle pressure, it's not Ellerbe. I mean, if you want to blitz Carlos Dansby, I mean, he's one of the more gifted top-to-bottom athletes from everything that's expected of a linebacker. You know, we know very little about Ellerbe. We know a guy that had a lot of supernatural talent around him. We had a guy that was playing on a team that had lightning in a bottle. You had nearly a decade of knowns with Carlos Dansby, and you have 9 starts with Daniel Ellerbe known. And again, financials come into play. Financials really, I think, are what screamed to me across the board from this whole offseason. And no one will convince me, and we have plenty of GM types in here all the time, and GMs that I get to talk to across the league that look and go, well, this is Jeff Ireland being Jeff Ireland, just, you know, playing with Monopoly money, and that's just not the way you win championships.
And Heath, you've just voiced some very strong opinions about the Miami Dolphins. We need in South Florida for you to put your general manager's hat on and tell us what we should have did differently, because a lot of people disagree with you down here. I think you're very mistaken, and when you look at the positions, I think, you know, there's, you know, I think when you look at how we increased our secondary right off the bat, wide receiver. There's going to be most teams in the National Football League that's going to be looking at our wide receiver core and be afraid. And it sounds like you disagree from top to bottom every move that we made. What would you have done differently?
Let's break down Mike Wallace. Is he an intangible guy, or is he a guy that's still really learning how to run routes? You've got a young quarterback who, there's no bigger fan of Ryan Tannehill than me. I was the first one on this guy. I loved what the Dolphins did, and I watched him grow steadily last year, and I praised him every single week. But then you bring in a guy like Mike Wallace, who, yes, we know the ceiling is very, very high, but the floor is equally as low as high as the ceiling, meaning, you know, this is a guy that's going to throw your quarterback into interceptions at times. This is a guy that's going to be lazy in his routes, and the good DBs are going to be jumping balls. This is a guy that, truth be told, you talk to the Pittsburgh organization, you can't count on in crunch time. What do you need for a young quarterback? You need a guy that you can count on that's going to be at the depth, the steps, every integral part of what a supernatural talented offense is in this business, which we watch the Green Bay Packers run. We watch the Saints. We watch Brady. We watch Peyton Manning was able to do last year. It comes down to player responsibility for 60, 70 snaps a game. And I know this about Mike Tomlin. I know this about the Rooney family, that if that's what they were getting, there's no way Mike Wallace would have gotten out the door. And, you know, again, we have 10 years of relationships I was able to build in this business. You get to talk to a lot of powerful GMs that have Super Bowl rings on their finger, and you know what? The numbers don't add up. So, listen, I might be wrong. I'm wrong plenty of times, but I do know this. Every coach starts out the year, their number one goal is to win the division. So your question before was, hey, do you play 15 other teams or 14 other games, excuse me? Are you really going to build your team around just the two games a year where you play inside the division? You're trying to beat off the monster Patriots. The answer is yes, because your main goal is you got to win the division. And if you're going 0-2 to the Patriots every year, your chances of winning the division, they're slim to none.
Heath, just getting off a different topic, when you're talking about the NFL, you know, Jay Gruden was one of those guys. He was talking about how excited he was to work with Eifert and Gresham, and he really wanted to get to work. What do you think is the big trend as far as the two tight end position, and having two great tight ends on your team, and what advantages does it give every offense in the league?
Well, if your two tight ends, or at least one of them, is a willing, able body in the blocking game, it gives you a huge advantage. And that's what we've seen with Gronk. I mean, that's what we see with Tony Gonzalez. People slip on the fact of what Tony offers Atlanta in the run game. I mean, he's not mauling anybody, but his position skills, his leverage skills, offer them a great trade that just most tight ends don't have, because the want-to is not there. But if you can find two tight ends and have both of them being willing participants in the blocking game, and they're both, let's call them, the athletic freaks of nature that we've grown to love, then your advantages are sky high, because what do you put on the field defensively? Okay, you go nickel because you think, man, they can light us up in the pass game. Well, then you're underhanded in the run game. And if you have an OC that's willing to run the ball, we saw Peyton Manning last year when Willis McGahee was healthy. We saw it with Tom Brady last year. If they had numbers, you get them trapped on the field, nickel and dime. When you have those two tight ends on the field, or you have the two freak wide receivers size-wise that are like tight ends that Peyton Manning has, you get people trapped in defenses that they don't want to be in, and then you can run the ball all day against them. And that's what we saw from the Patriots. And so people are constantly trying to stay ahead of the curve in the sense of, you know, how do we dictate the flow offense to defense? How do we dictate to the defense what they have to put out on the field so then we can run our best plays against that defense? And, you know, the Patriots, goodness gracious, the Saints, Green Bay, you know, You mentioned Gruden there in Cincinnati. They were doing some amazing things last year, keeping people's base defense on the field because of the way they were running the ball, and then they were able to spread it around in the pass game. So that's always the key, is how do we trap the defense on the field that we want?
All right, there you go. Heath Evans, NFL Network. You can see him on Total Access tonight at 7. Also, the Top 100 show continues tomorrow. Players 70 to 61. You won't see Cameron Wake tomorrow because he was somehow number 89 as voted by the other players in that thing. Heath always brings the strong opinions, which we appreciate, agree or not, man. Thanks so much, and we'll look for you tonight on NFL Network.
Anytime, buddy. Thanks, guys.
Heath Evans on the Metro PCS Hotline. For unlimited access to all interviews on the Metro PCS Hotline, visit thefinsiders.com. Obviously don't agree with a lot of his analysis. But
nor
that's
do
fine.
I appreciate his analysis.
You don't have... Well, then, that's silly. He's
that's
certainly entitled to have a different opinion than you or I.
Well, his opinion is a little extreme.
I mean, it is extreme. That's the way he's going with it. Let me start with the one thing that he said. He didn't seem to like the spending in free agency. He seemed very concerned about the financials, yet the Dolphins are maybe the healthiest team cap-wise, you know, from the beginning of this offseason going into next year in the National Football League. And so he brought up monopoly money, which to me is such a silly thing to say. Like, this cap is exceptionally healthy, and they were able to add all these bodies because they had a healthy cap situation, and they moving forward still have a healthy cap situation. So that to me is like when fans get wrapped up, oh man, we're paying this guy a lot of money. Who cares? It's a player they wanted. They paid him market value, maybe sometimes a little bit more than market value depending on how a negotiation goes. But like, if the cap is in good condition, why does it matter to you? And it's a criticism I hear from some fans, and it's something that he brought up. He doesn't like the amount of money that they spent. Well, they had a lot of cap space. You got to spend that money, and they went out and they spent it. I don't understand that. And if you're gonna take shots at Danelle Ellerbe, at least say his name right. I mean, that would be another thing too.
I mean, the one thing that frustrated me, number one, I mean, I gave him an opportunity to say, okay, what would you have done differently? He never actually answered the question. I mean, he started jumping on Mike Wallace, and he's talking about, well, if he wanted to stay at the Bears, or I mean, if he wanted to stay where he was, they would have kept him. And for me, it wasn't about that. The Miami Dolphins had more money than anybody else. They were able to pay a little bit more.
Pittsburgh wanted to work a long-term deal with him last year. You remember that?
Right.
They wanted to do it. They couldn't, and they gave the money elsewhere. They said, okay, that was going to be their decision. They were going to give it to another wide receiver, and they didn't have the money. That's what it comes down to. To say that, oh, hey, Pittsburgh knows what they're doing. We've talked to Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger. He says, oh, I've talked to people. So have we. We've talked to Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger and other people, and they've said really, really good things about Mike Wallace. And it's not always as simple as, oh, the old team didn't want him around anymore. Because not every team is healthy when it comes to the salary cap the way the Dolphins were. And to call Deion Jordan a reach, it's insane. To me, that's one of the ones that drives me nuts, because you heard it from some national media in the immediate aftermath of the draft, and like every mock draft had him as a top 5 pick, top 4 pick, top 3 pick. So to be like, oh, it's a reach because of his skill set. No. That's now you're just picking on the Dolphins, and you could say you're not, but you
then
are.
He said if he gets 18 sacks,
yeah, even if he gets 18 sacks, he's still a liability.
But
I'll
to
take
me,
the
you're talking about
I'll take the 18 sacks.
You're talking about getting an impact player, and that's what you need on the other side.
Absolutely.
Tom Brady is not one of those guys. It's about pressure on the lap. If you apply pressure, period, on Tom Brady, he gets frustrated. So to me, I think you can't worry. You have to close the gap between the Patriots, but you can't worry about beating the Patriots. You got 14 other teams that you have to worry about. So to me, I just think that, you know, everybody has their opinion, whether it's we're spending too much money or on the talent that we acquired. But ultimately, we have what we have, and I'm excited about this upcoming season.
Absolutely. So he had to go. He had to get going. You know, you let him say his opinions, and you can react to him. You know, obviously, don't agree with a lot of what he said, but I got no problem with him saying it. Don't give the look, Twan. People are allowed to have other opinions.
No, I mean, it's okay. I felt it came out of left field a little bit.
Well, that's what he is. We knew what we're getting with him. When they emailed us this week and they said, hey, Heath Evans.
His opinion was worse than me saying that Mike Wallace was from the Bears.
I don't know.
I did accidentally say that.
I tried to. I was being nice about it.
I was frustrated. You know, I get frustrated. I can't think. Yeah, I was frustrated.